if he was drafted 31st, right? So I was drafted to Chicago.
Yeah.
But I was drafted 31st, and we had a veteran tight end there that was a really good player in Desmond Clark. So I had to come in. I was like the 12 tight end guy, and I had a role, and I had 30 snaps a game, and I was only asked to do what I was good at, and I could learn all the other things because we had Bernard Berrien and Mohsin Mohammed and Desmond Clark, and like we had a lot of other proven really good
Johnny players. Knox.
Yeah, exactly. So like we had real dudes when I got there. So the other side of that coin, though, is you don't get that luxury when you're drafted in the top 10.
We're going to actually talk with Des Clark tomorrow on the show. I think he's still like the leader in receptions and receiving yards at Wake Forest.
Man, that's cool. That's Greg Olson on the 89 podcast with Steve Smith. Talk about Des Clark, but Greg Olson referring to himself right there as I was just the 12 tight end. So he was the second tight end in 12 personnel. And that's all he had to do was just do what he knew. That is not the case for Loveland on this Bears team. Loveland knows how to do everything. He's going to play a lot this coming year, don't you think?
He is going to play a lot, but I do understand why Greg would make the comparison. It plays out because you're going to ask Komet to do a little bit more of the heavy lifting stuff, the inline tight end stuff. Initially, because we're still talking about a guy who's coming off of a shoulder injury, and he should be fine by the time they get to training camp.
So first six games, for sure, Komet higher on the snap count. Think it could shift as the season goes on?
I think it will shift. But I'm also curious on how much of that the personnel they play. Because we've seen it before. They what's the guy's name? Is it Dylan Smythe? What's the other?
Durham Smythe is your third tight end, the former Dolphin on this team.
When you want to go 13, you get him out there and do some things.
Mm-hmm.
But there was some cool stuff about him. And while I was watching this stuff this weekend, the Declan Doyle thing, I think we all pretty much kind of understand what this is. This is like a high-level, young prodigy type thing of like, this guy is going to be good, so we're going to give him this job. And he's not going to have play calling responsibilities. His responsibility is to make the life of the head coach easier. And when he was hired, it felt like a guy who was nervous when I was listening to him talk. And this weekend, I walked away going, the closer we get to ball, the more I'm like, oh, I completely understand why they hire Declan Doyle. Here's what I mean, Speaks. Take a listen to him talking about Colston Loveland.
What did you like about when you first watched Loveland on tape? What were some of the things that jumped out to you?
He's competitive. He's super competitive. I was a tight ends coach before this. He was a guy that I started watching Colston near the end of last season. I had a quality control coach that brought his tape and Tyler Warren's tape. And so I got to watch Colston a little bit right at the end of last year, and I was like, man, I would love to be able to coach this guy. It just so happens that I end up here, and we end up acquiring him, and we're certainly very excited about, you know, the competitiveness, the person. He's been out there. He's been really inquisitive, and he's very involved just right from the rip.
What are some of the things he does that show you that competitiveness, the things that you can see on the tape that show you that he can?
I think that you see him finishing at a high rate, and you'll see him jaw a little bit at, you know, whoever he is, he's playing against. That's the biggest thing that stands out is just his ability to finish and his willingness to play through the whistle.
I said that like next to quarterback, tight end's the hardest position for a rookie to grasp. And, like, knowing that he's not going to be on the field for a little bit, what do you try to focus on with him now? Like, what specific areas of the mental part?
Yeah. I think with any of these guys, you start at the start. And so that is the language first, getting on the same page as far as how we're going to communicate. For tight ends, that is a challenging position to be able to pick up because you are involved in run game, protection, pass game. And so we're giving these guys kind of a bite-sized piece of what we're going to give the veterans here, but really not skipping any steps. No different than how we're handling Caleb in the quarterback position, making sure that he feels comfortable with how we're going to communicate, where he's going to line up, what his thought process is at the line of scrimmage, where his eyes need to go, all those things, all the intricate details of our offense. it's just a special group of people. Like, it's a group of people that we are excited about the direction that this place is going. We're bringing in people that are like-minded, that, you know, fit the vision of the head coach, the ownership, the GM top down. And when you bring a group of people together that are like-minded and attacking a goal together, I think that, you know, a lot is possible.
I'm smiling because that dude loves football.
He loves it. and quite honestly, he doesn't sound like, I know that a 28-year-old adult, he doesn't sound like a kid in this. Like, he sounds like a guy that has got the memo, and he is ready to out here to speak from the gospel of Ben Johnson.
He sounds like a passionate lifer who absolutely loves ball, and you have to love football. I was told many times.
You have to.
I would suspect that, you know, being under the tutelage of Sean Payton at that young age, like, that'll force you to grow up in NFL years real quick.
Yeah sure. But
you're going to get punched in the face.
Wasn't it? Oh, especially if you go near the Vicodin. Wasn't it Ben who said that Sean told him he's another Ben Johnson? Didn't somebody tell Ben that about Declan Doyle?
Yes.
That he's another Ben Johnson, that he's like a young, passionate, likes to be think of himself as a mad scientist. Like, he's into it.
And watching that, like, it came through. Like, watching him talk about Loveland,
for sure.
It came through. So I was kind of like watching the video while laying down on the couch. And when he started talking, I like sat up and I was like, oh.
I'm picturing you as Leonardo DiCaprio with a beer in his hand and a smoke just pointing. Yes, you. That's it. That's the football love.
That's what I was looking to see, and he's got it.
We were told in the meeting, in the pre-show meeting, that Alex Kuhn has some Declan Doyle nuggets that he could share with us. I hear they're delicious,
well,
Declan Doyle
nuggets. You're looking for somebody that is Ben Johnson Jr., basically. Well, he's a tight ends coach, but his tight ends coaching goes back to when he was a student assistant at Iowa, where in 2016... George Kittle, TJ Hockenson, Noah Fant, all on the roster.
And he was the tight end coach.
No, he was the student assistant, I was told by another student assistant
that he was what, 20?
21 years old at that time. So that's 7 years ago. But he obviously saw the 12 and 13 personnel and the fact that you have those types of tight ends that are in that system, and you're not schemed open in that system. You have to be able to route run. You have to do everything on your own. And for Declan Doyle, I was told that he's always been a very smart X's and O's guy. And like you talk about, the good cop, that's what he has always been. And clearly now 7-8 years into his coaching career, stops in New Orleans, now stops in Denver as a tight ends coach. He's picked up a lot of knowledge along the way.
Let's talk about it. We just got some sourced Declan Doyle nuggets.
Is that Big Ann Heron sitting next to me here? I can't tell. That sounds a lot like Big Ann Heron, all that knowledge about Big Ten football.
I usually like my nuggets sourced, but he got them sourced. They're sourced nuggets.
Let's see if he's got as nice of a jacket as Big Ant was wearing on draft night.
Oh, I don't think
probably
so.
Not yet. Hey, no.
Did you ever sack Tom Brady?
No.
Okay.
No.
Drew Brees?
It's never too late. You went with that attitude, you know?
That's right. I wouldn't blow you off if I ran into you in the South Loop.
And to bring everything back into... Yes, you would. To bring everything back to the beginning of the show, Rich Hill was at Michigan with Tom Brady.
Oh, that's crazy. That's crazy. But I do love this idea of the young, the teaching assistant, the grad assistant, Declan
Doyle.
Yeah,
that was not that long ago.
No, with Hockenson and Fant and Kittle.
And that guy, like, if a Declan Doyle type that isn't Declan Doyle, his job is probably going to be quality control.
Oh, yeah, that
offense coach. Mm-hmm. And the fact that at 28, he has got this opportunity after the other ones, it tells me that there's something to him. Now, it probably won't matter for the Bears, other than how he augments Ben Johnson before he then moves up and moves on to being a play caller someplace else, or maybe a head coach of a college team someplace else. Mm. But it gives you an idea of what it is he's about. And it's first glances, it's rookie ball, but I enjoyed hearing him talk about Loveland that way.
You gotta love football, and you need dudes like that who just freaking love the game.
Well, Greg Olsen is another one.
I want to hear this.
Loves the game, and considering what he did throughout his career, his opinion on Colston Loveland, I take very seriously. Here's what he told James Palmer and Steve Smith about the Bears' new tight end.
I think Loveland is the modern day tight end, right? Mm. And the reason I say that, so there's two types of NFL tight ends. There's guys that you have to scheme open, right? You're running play action passes. You see him here. He's lined up on the single side of the route. He's running contested catches, bodies hanging on. There's guys that you have to scheme open, and then there's guys that can get themselves open, right? There's not a lot of guys in the league that are running that whip route. You just saw him catch there. Now he's out in motion. Now he's going to catch, and it's run after catch. Like, there's just not a lot of guys in the league that can get themselves open. Right, so I think you start there. Those are the guys that you pay. Those are the guys that you draft high. And then the second tier of guys are still NFL players. They're 10-plus year veterans. But they're going to be dependent on play action. They're going to be dependent on naked flats and bang overs and all of the things that really are more scheme-wise. So I used to go into every game, and as I looked at the play sheet, I'd say, okay, I'm going to get three or four what I just call nothings, right? It's a check down. It's a flat route. It's a sticky route. It takes no skill. There's 40 guys in the league that will catch those three or four balls a game. Sometimes it's five. Sometimes it's one. But in that range, takes no skill. You're just going to get them as a byproduct of the system. Then there was like five opportunities for me a game that I felt like not everyone can do this. Not everyone can run this route.
This is Greg's play. Right.
This is my play. And if we get the right coverage, I'm getting the ball.
And the responsibility of everyone else around him, even including myself, I had to force outside release, clear out, make sure that I attract or go underneath to make sure that you open it up, because it's reciprocal. You want your teammate to do the exact same thing because roles will be reversed.
Exactly. 100%. Right. So there was five of those in just our normal every down scripts where it's like, okay, if we get the right coverage, we get the right look, like, this plays for me. But maybe not every tight end in the league is running that route or running that scheme or has the feel or whatever it is, right? That's a little bit more player personnel dependent. Loveland, to me, is that guy where he's going to catch the easy ones. He's going to catch the play action stuff. He's going to catch the gimmies. But then he's going to go out there and verse press man on 3rd and 7, and they want to double team Steve Smith on the outside. He can win versus safety or a nickel or a dime linebacker, whoever it is. He can win one-on-one when they want to cloud and play a safety over the top of your X, and he's going to win one-on-one. It doesn't matter what the route is. It doesn't matter. He's just going to win. I'm going to stare at him, and I'm going to put the ball on his chest. There's not a lot of those guys. Those are the Kelseys and the Kittles and the real special guys. So I think Loveland is that guy. And then, Steve, I think to your point, what's interesting is the Cole Kmet fit, I think, is going to be interesting to see how much 12, you know, how much two tight end stuff do they do on early downs. And then to me, it's kind of a, can they share the position, especially early, because in Ben Johnson's offense, they are going to run the ball. They do have DJ Moore, right? They do have Rome Odunze. They do have a young quarterback who they are trying to develop and get better. So this Ben Johnson system, I think, is multiple. I think we've seen him play under center. He can play in the gun. He's going to be 4 and 5 wide, but he's also going to be in 2 tight end, 2 back and run downhill. So I think Ben's one of the few offensive minds that has the flexibility where he can build his system around his personnel.
I like the idea that when looking at him on tape, Greg sees a special talent. Now, whether or not that happens, that's up to him. We'll see. But even him being, and Greg doesn't shine apples, you know, like, he's not out here just saying nice things to say them. The fact that he can see that and say, yeah, that guy has got some of the stuff that the special tight ends in the league have, that's extremely encouraging to me.
Agreed. And, you know, we learned some of this stuff along the way as we did Ben's vision. The Lions under Ben Johnson ran 12 personnel with 2 tight ends, 3rd most in the entire NFL. They ran it a lot, 32%. It was 11 above the league average. The Bears were way down at 19%. So well below the league average. So you're going to see a lot more of it because that's what Ben has done, especially now that he's got two killers like this. And so that's what, to me, it made the wide receiver draft pick even more surprising because of how much two tight ends they run?
I think that they just looked and they were like, this guy's got a first round grade and he's sitting right there.
They just want weaponry. They want weaponry. And also, like, if you get one, because they ended up with what? The 3 second rounders, right? So they ended up with the three because of the deal. And now you got one, and now you're on that. You're on a really good contract time horizon with two young wide receivers as you're thinking about your team and your roster building, you know, writ large.